leaf and it's forked. It's got black seeds and there are two kinds, but one kind has black seeds about this old.
Come on, are we in spring, right?
No, just right now. Just now, the seeds aren't ripe yet, they're just getting ripe.
We have another thing?
Myrrh, sweet myrrh? Myrrh, maybe myrrh.
Has long, you know, seeds stick in your socks a lot too.
They're just, sweet Sicily is just getting ripe right now, so you'll see it along the damp woods.
Going back to the poultices that draw infection, the best ones I've found from experience is ordinary cabbage from the garden. It should be organic, it shouldn't be sprayed or anything if you're going to apply it to a wound, but to mash the leaves, they're thick and juicy, and they draw boils and any kind of skin infection. Cabbage is a real all-around healer.
And how do you fix it up?
You just mash the leaves.
What do you mash? Is this cooked cabbage?
No, this is raw cabbage. You don't want to cook it. You take a raw or whatever else, you have a mallet or something, and just mash it into a pulp. And just apply it directly and then wrap it on if it's a bad boil or wound or whatever, so it stays there, and keep doing it over a few days and it works very well.
Did any of you ever have anything else applied to boils when you were little to get them to pop? Well,
ivory soap, shave ivory soap, and sugar, make a paste.
Warm beeswax poultices, the old time people.
Warm beeswax and ivory soap and sugar.
Potato
poultice. Potato poultice.
Tears.
Peel the inside of an egg. Okay, that little albumen lining on the inside of an eggshell.
White of an egg. I was just getting ready to say that.
White of an egg, the whole white, the albumen and the white of the egg.
And but carrots are good.
Carrot, a carrot poultice?
Yeah, shredded up. I mean,
but my mother told us this. I never had boils, thank heavens, because I wouldn't have wanted her to do this to me. What her mother would do is take a ketchup bottle, I guess Heinz ketchup has been around a long time, I guess, and put that bottle in boiling water and put the top of it, proper piece out of it. Your mother did that to you.
Oh, you poor soul.
I did that smarted.
Did it work?
Before
sure.
And the boil?
It worked.
And a number of ours used to make up a springtime for their kids after May apple. It's just terrible stuff to give to somebody, but it makes you vomit and have terrible diarrhea, and they claim
that
it took the fields off their stomachs in the spring.
Anybody, mother ever give you May apple to clean you out in the spring? May apple can be pretty deadly. May apple can be. The fruits of May apple. Put balm of Gilead. The lady mentioned she was putting balm of Gilead in her sack. She put sassafras. So, did she put some? No, he put some. Sassafras? Balm of Gilead? What is balm of Gilead?
Elderbark.
She had elderbark. What's this?
Is the balm of Gilead some kind of poplar?
There's an old poplar around here called Bambagia. That's right. Bambagia. You know what, by that name? Bambagia. Bambagia. Yeah. It's the tulip poplar tree. No, it's not the tulip poplar. At least nobody I've talked to has ever called it tulip. Because I've been confused. Bambagia is a genus name. So it's like a Lombardy type poplar or a cottonwood poplar. One of those.
But balm of Gilead, there are about 30 plants probably called balm of Gilead. But the people around here who talk about balm of Gilead are talking about the poplar, not tulip poplar.
What part of the plant?
Just the buds. Okay. They break those buds off and use those. Usually in sap.
They say that in the spring, if you find some saplings, you can just pull them up right out of the ground and transplant them very easily.
probably even on the 18th of July, you can catch plant it very easily. It's really, it's a very sturdy tree. It's one that's hard to get rid of.
It grows fast.
Yeah, it grows very fast. Does everybody know sour grass? He said this is a blood thinner. The yellow, we called it field sorrel, but today most of the books call it yellow wood sorrel. It's a little tiny, like trumpet yellow flower and a clover-like leaf. Yeah, sour grass. It's got a very sharp, lemony, citrusy taste to it. Just chew on a little bit to refresh yourself on a hot summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, using it as a blood thinner. Did you ever have sassafras tea in the spring?
Yes.
Yeah, it literally is a blood thinner.
My grandmother, when she would can her blackberries, she would always have a special jar with nothing but the juice for diarrhea, and it works.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Blackberries for diarrhea?
Yeah.
The summer complaint, okay, this is the summer flu or diarrhea or what have you. What did you take for that when you were little? Every kid gets flu or summer diarrhea sometime every summer, I think. So. What did your mother, give you blackberry juice for that?
Blackberry juice for that. And sometimes the leaves were used if it wasn't cold weather.
Sometimes what?
The leaves were made.
Oh, blackberry leaves?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These are real astringent and just kind of dry right up inside. And what else did anybody use?
Yarrow.
Okay, yarrow.
Peppermint
like that man
tea.
Standing right there. His name
peppermint
is.
Tea.
Peppermint tea for diarrhea?
Well, upset stomach.
Did anybody ever make tea out of a little plant that grows way down low? Carpet weed? Nobody?
I don't know carpet weed.
You don't know carpet weed. Well, that's what we used at my house. My father was from Logan, and somewhere way, way, way back. Part Cherokees. I think some of these things are probably Indian things. Probably a lot of you have part Cherokee somewhere way back if your family's lived here very long.
Mary, can you tell us something about what you grew up in a traditional family in which a lot of these skills were you learned them right in your family. You didn't go out.
That's one. Yeah. Is the carpet weed for diarrhea, and it works really well. Where did I see some? There's some on the sidewalk in front of the library, if you want to see what it looks like. If you're facing the library, on the left side, just along the fence line there's some carpet weed. And you very often find it on sidewalks. At my house, it's in the cracks in the sidewalk. So.
Is it like a chickweed, like a fuzzy, small, simple leaf?
No, it's a very smooth leaf, very smooth leaf. Where's Marlene? Still at Picking in the Park, my bot.
She did not.
Oh, she just left. The genus is Molucca? Molucca? Molucca.
Molucca.
Oh.
Molucca.
Okay.
You can use that nutmeg in milk and boil it for diarrhea, too.
Okay, now in the wintertime, when we didn't have carpet weed, that's what we used, too, was nutmeg. And either in water or in milk with a little bit of sugar or a little bit of honey. Okay. And I was telling the herbs class that one time when I was about 15 and I had diarrhea and I wanted to go somewhere the next day, I didn't want to have diarrhea, so I put about 2 spoonsful of ground nutmeg in my nutmeg tea and stirred it up in water. I can remember this as plain as yesterday, and drank it down. It tasted awful because it was so strong, and went and laid down, and I had the strangest feelings and the strangest dreams. Well, that much nutmeg is really hallucinogenic, and if you take much more, you'll kill yourself. I got rid of that diarrhea. And went wherever it was I was going. I can't remember where I was going, but I can remember drinking that strong nutmeg tea. So.
My grandmother would give us nutmeg. Well, she would give us warm milk and a cup of warm milk. She'd put like a teaspoon of sugar and then just sprinkle the nutmeg on if we were what she called too active at bedtime.
My grandmother would give me, when I'd have bad cases of cramps, ginger tea.
Ginger, that's the best. Okay.
Yes, and it works good.
Ginger is in a group that's called birdwort. And so for any kind of menstrual problems or difficulties in labor and so forth, you find ginger. And do you know Dutchman's pipe? That's a big vine that grows around here in the woods. Dutchman's pipe is in that group too, in the birdwort.
When you mentioned ginger, do you mean what you buy in the store or the green
ginger? Wild ginger or tame ginger?
Pardon?
Tropical ginger or wild ginger? From a can?
Yeah, in the can.
Okay, it still has the same effect. But the wild ginger here is used for about 5-7 pounds.
Same thing that you give in rat poison in warfarin, you know, to kill rats, you give them an overdose of blood sugar and then you bleed to death. It's the same thing that you suck out.
Do you eat
it
raw or do you eat it?
Yeah. Whatever you want to do. You shouldn't take very much of it. It's just a nibble on little bits of it.
Well, how does it work? How does it thin the blood?
It interferes with the clotting factors in your blood. It blocks them so that they can't form a blood clot.
Well, what is it that you eat to do this?
The leaves are bioxalic plants that will
withstand.
Actually, it's a veterinary problem, is what it amounts to. If you've got a meadow that has a lot of oxalis in your cavity, that it can bleed.
Do you know the yellow sweet clover along the road and the white sweet clover? The ones that get real tall? Sweet nolulat? They're not fat leaf clovers, they're thin leaf clovers, and they're tall plants. In good soil, they're very tall. For those, farmers don't like those either in their fields because when they wilt, if they get a little bit fermented, they produce lots of coumarin. And if when cows eat those, if that gets put into the hay, you can kill off your whole herd with all of that extra coumarin in there. So farmers don't like that particular clover. Alfalfa has coumarin in it too. So anything that smells vanilla-y, like woodruff, and the sassafras isn't really vanilla-y, but hay-scented ferns, these things all have coumarin in them. They're all literally blood thinners. So I had a woman here in Augusta a couple years ago who was only 19 and had been hospitalized 3 times already for phlebitis, Richard Nixon's disease, remember? And you remember Richard Nixon? She said the third time she was in the hospital and nothing was helping her and her legs were just getting more and more swollen, and she just checked herself out and started drinking alfalfa tea and sassafras tea. And she got rid of all the swelling and the phlebitis. And every time her legs start swelling, she just has a cup of sassafras tea. And so she hasn't had to go back to the hospital, so. Or as far as I know. So. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Rosemary tea is good for replenishing the worn-out brain cells when you get over 60. Keeps you from becoming senile. That's what's wrong with me.
Rosemary tea. Rosemary.
Rosemary.
Well, I have my old book here, which is an herbal book from the 17th century.
Okay.
And in there it says, rosemary waters, the face is washed therein morning and night, causes a fair and clear countenance. Also the head washed and let dry of itself preserves the falling of the hair and causes more to grow. 2 ounces of the same drunk driveth venom out of the body in the same sort as something else, methadrate, whatever that is. The same twice drunk each day, half an ounce, rectifieth the mother and causeth women to be fruitful. When one maketh a bath of this decoction, it is called the bath of life. The same drunk comforteth the heart, the brain, and the whole body, and cleans away the spots of the face. It maketh a woman look young, and causeth women to conceive quickly, and hath all the virtues of balm.
That's what's wrong with me.
It's Shakespeare saying.
That's rosemary that does
yeah.
that.
You keep it all the time.
Yeah, that's rosemary for memory.
Remember
it. A lot of people drink rosemary tea because they think it's real relaxing. Other people need something, especially if you have dark hair or red hair, put rosemary on for a rinse to make their hair darker, shinier, more lustrous. If you're blonde, you use chamomile. If you're getting gray, you use nettles because nettles are supposed to take away some of the gray, right?
Good stuff.
I haven't tried that. Yeah. You just What about witch hazel? Ever do anything with witch hazel?
Okay, let's get Geraldine. How about an old fashioned headache? Got a good cure for that one? I do.
What do you do?
You take the white vinegar and brown paper, you dip it into the vinegar, take your cloth, lay it on that cloth, put it over your head and lay down and forget about the headache. You'll go right off to sleep. When you wake up, you don't have no headache.
Vinegar and brown paper. Is that in some nursery rhyme? Yeah. Jack and Joe went up the hill?
Yeah.
Vinegar and brown paper is an old English remedy for headaches.
It'd be a sick headache, you know, like it doesn't get well until you vomit, you know, sometimes. Sometimes you can't do it. And you go all day with that headache. Maybe before, you know, it'll feel better. But you've got to vomit first to get that rid of that headache. It's called an old-time sick headache.
Sick headache.
You just use that brown paper and that white vinegar. Lay it on that paper, put it on there and lay down.
Then did that make you vomit?
You don't even have to vomit.
Oh, okay.
That brings everything down. Gets rid of the headache and all. What is witch hazel? His mother used it, but she took it out of the bottle. Does anybody know? Not you. Anybody else. And not you. Somebody else. What's witch hazel? Where does it grow?
Tree.
A shrub? Shrubby tree. Where does it grow?
Down by the night.
Across from the science center. Where else?
Close to water.
Near water. Okay. You usually find it along brooks or streams or creeks.
Is there another name for it?
Caminellus virginiana. It's just witch hazel. Witch hazel. We have here on campus, I think it's Chinese witch hazel. There are about 7 ornamental witch hazels in the country. that you can buy in the East, as well as our native witch hazel. But they all seem to work equally well. Did you ever buy witch hazel at the drugstore?
Yeah.
Well, what do you use it for?
I use it as an astringent, especially during the summertime. Just cleans your face really.
Cleans your face right up? Witch hazel?
Bee stings.
Bee stings? Mosquito bites, somebody said before. Did anybody ever try it on poison ivy?
Sunburn.
Yeah.
Sunburn.
Circles around your eyes, too.
What?
Circles around your eyes when you've overworked. Witch hazel on cotton balls on your eyes.
Okay, I never tried it as liniment. Some people use it for sore muscles. And about 3 weeks ago, my legs were really sore at about 11 o'clock from digging all day. And I thought, oh, they're really going to be sore tomorrow. And I rubbed witch hazel that we made about 4 years ago in an herbicide. And I had it except for blackberry scratches. And it quit hurting right away, and the muscles weren't sore at all the next day. So I've used witch hazel a whole lot of evenings since then, in the last 3 weeks.
How do you use it? Is it the kind mixed with alcohol you buy?
No, we made it. Uh-huh. All we did was get some witch hazel branches, pruned judiciously from here and there, and boil them with water, and then strain it off and add some rubbing alcohol. So you have witch hazel tea. Now you can drink the witch hazel tea. And my mother used to say, I don't know why your father makes that stuff. It tastes awful. But you can drink witch hazel tea, and it's good for any astringent too. So it's another diarrhea cure. But if you don't want the tea, if you want to make lotion, just add some rubbing alcohol to it, and then we put glycerin in it too. So it's smooth and slippery. It goes on. So it's very easy to make. We'll be making some Thursday if you'd like to come by the herbs class and see witch hazel lotion firsthand. So. And clover blossom salve we're going to make Thursday. Do you ever use that? Do we use cloverine salve?
Oh, yes.
Cloverine salve today is only white salve. It had no clover in it anymore. But I think old cloverine salve really did have clover in it. But we make real clover blossom salve. And the lace makers and the basket makers really like our clover blossom salve. It's very good for your hands. And Carl says it takes the wrinkles away from the face. I'm going to start trying that. So I don't know. I've never used it for that. But do you ever make clover blossom salve? I'm sure most of you people who are my age or older used it, or you sold it. Just to come in tins with the black and white cabinet and the clover blossom? You just sold it. What, did you get prizes or money?
Prizes.
Must have been money.
Money. He took his first trip on his clover blossom.
How do you make it?
How do you make it? Well, what we do is get a coffee can, and I've been telling them they can't come in the room unless they have clover blossoms, and just fill the coffee can as full as you can get it with clover blossoms. And what we usually do if we have people who don't object to petroleum products is just put Vaseline in on top of it and heat it, and the oils will come out, or the essential ingredients will come out into the Vaseline. It's really probably better if your clover is a little bit wilted, because you get more of the healthful ingredients in that wilted clover. So ours is going to be well wilted by the time we get to it Thursday. And just simmer it. Put your coffee can into a pan of water, so it's like a double boiler. Don't put a pan with Vaseline or oil in it directly on the stove, because you'll be like delaying it. It'll blubber over and you'll be in trouble. Yeah. And then strain it off. And straining clover blossoms and Vaseline is no easy chore. And you get lots and lots of it on your hands. And there's a lot of Vaseline left in the clover blossoms. And we usually have this when Bill Cook is around. We just take those clover blossoms over and give them to the basket makers. And they rub their hands on them all week. So,
what would be an alternative to Vaseline?
Okay, and we sometimes do it with mineral oil, which is easier to get out, and then add beeswax to the mineral oil to get it thicker. Or if you don't want to use petroleum products, you can use a vegetable oil. And we usually use sunflower seed oil. But then it becomes rancid, unless you put gum benzoin in it to keep it as a preservative. Gum benzoin is a plant product from tropical trees. Back to the earth movement. I started teaching herbs in 1970, and I think the interest was just starting then. And every year, we see more and more.
You grew up with
Yeah, I did grow up with these, but I didn't have to take them up because I usually wasn't sick. Doug Hill asked me the other day when he was interviewing me about being sick, and I said, I never get sick. And I woke up yesterday morning and my eyes were falling out of my head. And I thought, oh no, some short-term virus here. But I was almost well by 9 o'clock, and my catnip tea at 10 o'clock, I felt better. I usually don't get sick. And I had that same short-term thing last November. And the last time I was sick was during Augusta in 1980. I think I always get this during Augusta because everybody comes in with all their germs. You pick up all these little viruses that everybody brings in from their house that you're not adjusted to.
So you can check out your new room.
Do you think there's, do you see a general distrust of
where's my dog? He's still standing there. when you hear a bad tale about some medical situation, then you say, oh, that's those doctors again. You know, I don't like doctors, I don't like this. But I'm certainly not against doctors, but I think many people feel like these old remedies are somehow more comfortable, more genuine, more back to the earth.
Cheaper, they don't have a side effect.
They're certainly less expensive.
Yeah.
And when you hear a physician recommending one thing and then adding something else to take care of the side effects for that, something else to take care of the side effects for that, and I think a lot of people don't, like, they would be happy to take maybe one drug, one medicine, but they start getting upset when they have a whole array of pills here that they have to take 3 or 4 times a day, and that they're not getting any better. So.
I was reading some of the pharmaceutical companies that were sending people out to Appalachia and so forth to find out all the natural herbs, mm-hmm. and they were incorporating that into their medicine.
Well, a lot of medicines have plants.
Right.
Yeah. So many do. And if they aren't plants now, they may be synthetic now, but the original were plants, and they isolated the essential ingredients in the plant and now produce them synthetically.
If you look at the history of most of the plants that are using now or in the rivers of natural surface products, synthetically manufactured. For heart medicine, and the old dropsy or heart failure, everyone gets digitalis for it, and that's just an extract of Foxglove.
What about valerian? Do you know valerian or garden heliotrope? It's found in some old gardens around here, so I don't know if old timers used it as a sedative tea or not. I never grew it until recently. But Valium came from Valerian originally. Do you know if Valium is still produced from Valerian or if it's synthetic? It's synthetic today. We thought it probably was, but weren't sure. So. Does anybody know Valerian? Yeah.
It's a real knockout.
Yeah. Amen. Don't take it before you go to work.
It's a good tea if you're in severe pain.
It's a real sedative. Yeah, it does. It just calms you right out. So, like Valium does, right? So, and they usually use the root for that, the dried root for valerian tea. It smells just like strong tomcat urine.
Oh, great. Yeah. Worse, much
I've
worse.
I've never drunk any valerian tea either. What about acetinity?
Yes.
Acetinity. It used to be a must.
Uh-huh, isn't it?
Yeah, you have it hanging around your neck in a bag.
Okay, just somebody. But Mary, did you have to wear acetinitis?
I didn't, but about every third kid in class in the school I went to did. It was supposed to keep away germs, most anything. It kept away people. Other people.
That's right. It keeps away strangers, and I think that's part of the secret. It keeps away strangers. I think today, if you ask a child to wear an acetinity bag around his neck, you'd see how quickly culture has changed. I can't imagine any kid today wearing acetinity. My father's mother used to try to get my mother make us wear acetate, only in the winter. Some kids had to wear it all year, but my mother said.
But they wore the same little sack all year long, if not all black and. But the smell never went away.
My mother used to say it smelled like, what's one of the names we saw in the book? What's another name?
Devil's Dung.
Devil's Dung. Okay, well, my mother said it smelled like strong garlic and chicken manure. Very, very strong. And it's a rosin from a plant that grows in India. And Indian people use it in their cooking, but they use very, very, very small amounts in the seasoning. And I never used it in cooking, but people tell me it tastes good. And I have to work my courage up very slowly. Yeah, but acetidity, you can still find in some drugstores, but it's fairly difficult to find. And it just wouldn't be tolerated. I can't imagine a kid, it'd be worse, it's a lot worse than rants. Yeah, than a teacher letting the child come into the classroom with acetidity.
It's not,
no, it's an Indian plant. You can buy the seeds and you could grow it and consume it. Yeah, this was a purchased thing. Asafoetida. Well, if you lived in town, you would purchase things like witch hazel and sassafras too.
Do you have a gas?
Gas. What do you use for gas?
Aromatics, like cinnamon.
Peppermint. Cinnamon, peppermint.